Well, ladies and gentlemen, the debate here this evening really centres on whether animal testing is actually beneficial to human health, as claimed by our opponents. And I hope to show you over the course of this very short presentation how animal testing has actually delayed and hampered medical progress, and how we would actually be better off relying on the most modern methods now available. This issue is often portrayed as a battle between altruistic scientists versus misguided animal rights activists. But Europeans for Medical Progress Trust is a group of scientists who are concerned that patients are being harmed because of our unfettered, unreasonable reliance on animal testing. Claims without any evidence are meaningless, and everything that we say is backed up by evidence from the scientific literature. Unfortunately, there have been many examples of where drug testing on animals has failed to predict the results in humans and failed to protect them. The most recent example is the Northwick Park clinical trial tragedy, where six young men almost died after taking a drug that had been shown to be safe at 500 times the dose in monkeys. And moreover, between 2000 and 2004, to give another example, about 140,000 people are estimated to have died from taking Vioxx, which was an arthritis painkiller, which had also been shown to be safe in animals. Are these isolated incidences, though? Well, unfortunately, they're not. The US Food and Drug Administration, which is responsible for assessing whether drugs should come to market, has found that 92% of potential new drugs fail at the clinical trial stage, despite years of preclinical, including much animal testing, because they either fail to work as they did in humans, as they did in animals, or because they are not safe in humans as they were in animals. Moreover, adverse drug reactions to legal prescription drugs are now the fourth leading cause of death in the Western world. What we urgently need is to weigh up the evidence to see whether animal tests really do predict the results in humans, as it's claimed that they do. Unfortunately, there haven't been many systematic reviews examining this and challenging this assumption. However, this is beginning to change, and I hope to I'll briefly discuss some of them now. Last month, a report commissioned by the NHS and carried out by a team led by Professor Ian Roberts from the London School of Health, Hygiene and Tropical Medicine brought out a report which looked at the collated animal data for six very commonly used, or previously commonly used, treatments for serious human disorders. They found that animal testing failed to predict the results in humans in two cases, and in one leading to patients being harmed. In the case of corticosteroids for brain injuries, unfortunately 10,000 people died unnecessarily because they took corticosteroids which were supposed to help them, as they did in animals. The animal test results were somewhat inconclusive in the further two cases, and what's more, the animal tests actually continued, in some cases decades, after the drug had first been used in humans anyway, and the animal tests were correct in two cases. Well, we don't claim that animal tests always get it wrong, otherwise we'd just do the opposite. However, we don't believe that they're predictive enough to be viable. And we're concerned because there's no way, until the drug goes into humans anyway, of knowing which set of animal results is accurate. Another review, this time published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, looked at the most highly cited, most high quality animal research between 1980 and 2000 to see how often it translated into humans in the clinic. They found that even the most high-quality research only translated about a third of the time, and that the authors saw fit to warn clinical researchers to expect poor replication of even high-quality animal studies. Yet another review, this time looking at 40 years of using animal tests to try and predict the ability of compounds to cause birth defects in humans, found that animal tests were accurate about as often as a coin toss, whereas the best in vitro methods were up to 80% accurate. The final study that I'm going to discuss looked at the ability of animal tests to predict cancer-causing agents in humans. They found that the animal tests were poorly predictive and that there was wide disagreement over whether they could be relied upon and what the results actually meant. Indeed, under the right conditions, any compound can be shown to be carcinogenic using the right, under the right circumstances. In fact, one study showed that of 20 chemicals known to be safe in humans, a fully 19 caused cancer in rodents. So that doesn't seem terribly reliable. So how would we develop new drugs without animals? Would medical progress grind to a halt, as our opponents would claim? Well, we now have many more sophisticated methods, more modern methods, brought to us by painstaking research. I'd first like to mention the use of tissue cultures and samples obtained ethically from surgery and autopsies, for example. These can be used to compare healthy and diseased tissue, as well as being used to examine new drugs for potential ill effects. Companies like Astrand and Biopta have already developed tests which could have predicted the Vioxx and Northwick Park clinical trial tragedies. There's also a new technique called the use of microfluidics chips, whereby tissue samples are linked by a circulating blood substitute to which the new drug can be added, and its breakdown products, because a liver sample is included in this, studied, and its effects studied on all the tissue samples from the body, which is a more close mimic of the human body than an animal, obviously. Computer models have become so advanced that a virtual heart developed by Professor Dennis Noble at Oxford University has already been used by companies like Roche and the FDA to examine potential new drugs. Work is underway around the world in order to develop models of all the organs of the human body. And in fact, Entelos has developed a model of an asthmatic patient, which is so sophisticated that it's already being used by drug companies to screen out potential new drugs. DNA chips can also be used to assess whether a new drug may be toxic or not. It can also be used to screen people on the basis of their genes to see which drugs may help them or not. This is known as personalized medicine. And also genetic testing to see if you're predisposed to get a certain disease. The most promising new method is probably microdosing, whereby trace amounts of a drug are administered to a patient or a volunteer at very small, much smaller, much safer doses than are currently used in conventional clinical trials. And extremely sensitive new imaging techniques and scanners are used to follow the drug as it travels through the body and is broken down. I believe that if all these new methods were relied upon, we would be much safer and have a much wider range of safe drugs to choose from today than is currently the case. We recently attended a fascinating lecture by the head of a company which conducts not only animal toxicology tests, but in vitro toxicology tests, and who works with most of the major drug companies. And he stated, tongue firmly in cheek, that conventional animal studies have value because they are required by law. I believe that we're being badly let down by relying on animal tests, and that we urgently need to modernise and to rely on the most modern technologies now available.